I have entered the next level. I'm talking about next level, people. There comes a time in your life that you're going to see so many repeats, and it's going to culminate, and you're going to say, oh, that's a culmination of everything in the past that were supposedly the good old days, and you might have missed those days, and then it shows up in the present. You realize, oh, the good old days wasn't really that good old day. If there's still drama and chaos and confusion and selfishness and murder, envy, strife, flesh, mind, whatever. All the fruits of drunkenness, carousing, all the Galatians 5:19, I forget what they are right now. Jealousy, envy, Cain. There comes a point in your life that you've experienced the same stuff over and over, and you're like, come on. It's time to grow up, people. And so, people who don't want to rise up and be in the spirit mind, you don't even have time for them. You have zero patience. And you try to pull them up out of the miry clay, Galatians 6:1. Either they're spiritual, try to restore such a one to the spirit of meekness, but be careful because you can fall into the same condemnation. So they want to pull you down into the tennis court of the flesh mind, and you're sitting there in the tennis court of the spirit mind, and there's no way you're going back. And when it culminates, you're like, oh, this is every test that I ever faced my whole life, and there's no way that I'm going to step back into stuff that I already healed from a long time ago and bypassed and surpassed and completely overcame. Why would I go backwards? Why would you go backwards? You're already healed. You can have everything you need. You're in the flow. If you're in the flow, why would you get out of the flow? Not only are you in the flow spiritually, you're in the flow financially, emotionally.
Hi, what are you using your McDonald's app today?
You're in the flow in so many ways, it ain't even fun. Two apple pies.
Hi, will you be using mobile app today?
Two apple pies and a large ice water.
You said two apple pies and a large water?
Yes, sir.
And
that's it.
First thing, thank you.
You're in the flow. Why are you going backwards? Why are you leaving the flow? Why do you think there's something? Why is there, you know, I decoded what the apple was to that. Yes, really, I decoded it. I don't know if it was yesterday or day before, but I really got it today.
Hello, 266.
I decoded the apple in Genesis, really. I used AI today to do it, but I decoded it 2 days ago. Thank you. And so, here's the deal. The apple in Genesis, and I might pause this and say tell you what AI said about it, but the apple in Genesis is nothing more than...
Hi.
Thank you. Nothing more than the devil's advocate program being played. Genesis 3. The devil put an apple out there and said, here, you need this. You're not content. You need this in your life. You're not content when you're content. When God gives you, look, everything is the now. You have all things. He says, if you have food and clothes and shelter, be content. You have it all right now. And so the devil throws something out there, an apple. The world, the flesh, and the pride of life. It's usually money. It's usually position or power or job or pride or outward show, image, pleases of men instead of pleases of God, lovers of pleasure instead of lovers of God. You got to go on vacation. You got to do this. What do you mean? I'm content where I'm at. Sometimes you need to do those things to remind yourself that you're content. You have everything you need. Sometimes you need to experience it to realize you already have everything you need right where you are. Now let me read what AI said about it. I'm going to put this on pause, eat an apple pie, and then I'm going to read the AI conclusion. It's just, what it is telling you that you're not content. The devil did it to Jesus. The devil is always playing this game that you need something more than you already have. You have it all. Why do you think these investors online are throwing, oh, my account's $2 million. If you just do it like me, you'll be rich. Yeah, but they don't talk about how much they had to sacrifice to get there, or the people who helped them, or the luck that they found a lot of times. A lot of people just got lucky, you know. Or they got it from their family, or somebody died and they got their insurance and all that. You'll never know the whole truth, so be content with what you have. Let me put this on pause, eat the apple pie, and then read what AI said about the apple. Okay, I'm pulling it up now. Let's see if I can find it. The apple, the illusion of lack, is what the AI said. So yes, the apple can symbolize any deceptive offer that makes you think you need something outside of what God has already provided. When you recognize that you already have everything in Him, the temptation loses its power, period. I'm going to put this under this explanation under the video. But let's see if I can read it, because I'm going down the highway and I don't want to mess up. I don't want to get in a car wreck over some video. So I'll read a little bit at a time. Yes, that's a powerful way to interpret the apple in the story of Adam and Eve. The apple, or the fruit in Genesis, represents the illusion of lack. The idea that you're missing something when in reality you already have everything you need. Because what I had said, so could the apple be something that the devil puts in front of you that tries to make you think you need it when you already have everything you need? Section one, the apple as a false desire. The serpent tempts Eve by making her question what she already has. Did God really say? Planting doubt. You will be like God, implying she lacks something when she's already made in God's image. Number two, the core temptation. The devil's trick wasn't about eating fruit, but convincing humanity they were incomplete without something external. They had life, dominion, relationship with God, and paradise, yet Satan made them feel like they were missing out. The same pattern plays out today in modern life. I had some traffic, so I gotta put my eyes back on the road here. The same pattern plays out in modern life. Advertising, social media, temptation often create an illusion of lack to make people chase what they don't actually need. Fractal patterns of this deception. Jesus' temptation. Satan tried to make Jesus feel he needed to prove himself. Modern consumerism. Many temptations work the same way. The apple, the illusion of lack. So, the apple, the AI says, is the illusion of lack. The way I say it is, you already have everything you need. You don't need anything out there. And so, when it comes to a job, there might be a better job, but you might be content where you're at. When it comes to a relationship, you might be divorced and you already seen the game. Or you might be in a marriage and some lady in red walks up, tries to take you away from your marriage. Or it could be the woman. Some tall, dark, handsome guy tries to take her away and promise her the world, and it never works out. And so you have everything you need, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a home, you can be single, job, where you live, what you're doing. Because no matter, even if you go to another city or you move somewhere, you're going to have the same troubles. The same junk, the same repeat, the same stupidity, no matter where you are. And it's probably going to be worse, because if you were established some routines and a system, you're probably going to be all right. But the devil's always throwing something out there that you need this, you need this, you're missing out on this. And if you wait long enough and you try the spirits, you'll realize, I've already had that, I've already seen that. And it's usually Jerry Springer drama, and it's usually confusion, and it's usually fickle, and it's usually up and down, and it's usually somebody projecting their stuff onto you, what they're doing, when you're just content, and all, you don't need anything. You're already content. But they're not. And they're trying to put something out there like you need something else out here. If God's leading you, that's a different story. But out of the blue, I don't know if God's... A lot of times, the devil sneaks in and tries to make you think it's God's will. You know? And sometimes we play the trick on ourselves. We get so bored with the routine that we're in that we think we need something else. And I think that's a lot of people. You just go through the routine, and it's so boring, the same old stuff. But you can grow. You can release that by becoming spiritual. No matter what routine you get in that becomes monotonous and boring, you can become spiritual and life's exciting. You know, how many times you gonna go to the pool hall and shoot pool and drink a beer? Doesn't that become monotonous? How many times you gonna go to the mountains or go to the beach? Doesn't that become monotonous? And so that's what I talk about, midlife crisis. Most people, they end up in a midlife crisis. Instead of going inside, they go outside. Instead of improving what you have, you could actually meticulously improve everything that you're doing, whether it's where you live, clean your room, clean your house, remodel, repair. You could meticulously each day tweak your routine, your business, whatever it is, and make it better. And sometimes you just need a vacation from your routine. You know, I ride share for 10 years, and I took off, I pretty much took off since July. 10 years of ride share, I took July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, 8 months I took off. I probably lost $15,000, but I needed that break, you know. But as soon as I start back, I'll be all right. The struggle keeps me alive. I learned that about myself. The struggle keeps me alive, keeps me going. Setting goals. Okay, I'm gonna pay off this bill. I wanna build this shed. I wanna do this. Setting goals keeps me going, keeps me healthy. And every time I start to complain from here on out, I'm gonna remember this season that I went through where I had to wake up to the fact that the grass is never greener on the other side, and the apple that the devil's throwing out there, I've already seen. I've already bought that t-shirt 1,000 times. And it's the same result every time. You think it's going to be different, and it sounds good. It sounds better than anything before. Otherwise, you wouldn't be drawn to it. And it's like, man, this is the greatest thing ever. And then a little bit of time, and you realize, oh, that reminds me of this. Oh, that reminds me of this. Oh, that reminds me of this. And the culmination of that, of the whole thing, is like, oh, the devil's still a liar, making you think you need something you don't need, making you think you want Jerry Springer, making you think you want to go back to the earth plane, that you want to set your affections below instead of above. One of the reasons I work hard to stay free is because when I'm free, my affections are above, easy. But if I go back into slavery and bondage and some kind of cube system, some kind of chains and nets and bands, if I go back into chains and nets and bands, my affections are below. But if I stay free down here in the 3D and live a stoic, minimal life, my affections are above. And I had a boss one time, he said, man, you're the freest man I've ever seen. I said, you got that right. And the fact that he said it, he was married. The fact that he said it told me he felt like he was a slave. And I've seen a lot of men and women, when they're in a relationship, they're miserable. When they finally get by themselves, they're happy. What's that about? And I've seen it a thousandfold. Because most people don't yoke up with somebody who can walk in the Spirit. Let's say you're walking in the Spirit and you marry somebody who's not. If two people who walked in the Spirit for real yoked up, they could be happy as like already in heaven almost. But most people never even understand what walking in the Spirit is. Most people are not willing to sacrifice. Most people are not willing to endure as a good soldier. Let's say you had a something you wanted to save up for and pay cash for, and two people were married, and you said, okay, we're going to eat beans and rice for a year. Most people would not follow through with that. After 3 days, they say, I can't do this. I can't eat beans and rice. Yeah, but we're going to be totally free in a year. Nah, I can't do it. I got to spend some money. Okay. Well, it's going to be a year and a half of next week. Well, I need this. Okay, it's going to be 2 years. We'll never get free. They got to buy stuff and things and food, and they got to be always buying something new and stuff down here and outward show and all that. Most people will never set a goal and be willing to sacrifice to get to it. The blood, sweat, and tears, the pain. And so that's why it's hard. When two people get together and one of them's not spirit-filled, it's just trouble. Every time. I've watched people who are spirit-filled and they get married and it turns into chaos and trouble, and the kids end up in trouble. And the whole thing is just turns into chaos. And you can see people in their eyes. You know, when I was separated from the whole place for about 5 years, I went back into the workforce. As soon as I walked out of the house, I looked at a friend. I told a friend of mine, I said, when they look in your eyes, it's like they're wanting something. This is when I saw the Shekinah glory. I was apart from this place for 5 years. And you go back into the workforce, it's like everybody's looking at you like, they're trying to see what they can get from you. It's like, come on. Go to God. Go to God. If you want something, go to God. You don't want to get it from somebody else. Go to God. If you need something, go get a second job. Sacrifice. Cut the noise off. Cut the music off. Cut the TV off. You can beat anybody in the system if you just cut the TV off. You can get ahead of anybody else in the system. All you have to do is cut the music off, cut the TV off, quit buying junk, quit buying sugar, and quit eating snacks, and do a fast, do an intermittent fasting every day. And you can pretty much save, $10,000 a year easy. But most people don't want to sacrifice, but they want to vampire off somebody else. And they see somebody who's willing to sacrifice, so they're going to pretend like they're like them, and they're actually just vampiring off the other person. And I could go on and I could talk 10 hours about this stuff, because I've seen it. I've seen it in jobs. I've been in jobs where they see you working hard and you're helping people, and they'll never help anybody, and then they try to take advantage of you because you're a hard worker, so you end up doing somebody else's job because the boss is trying to get everybody on the team, but not everybody understands teamwork. So they'll say, can you help them? So you end up doing somebody else's job because they're lazy and they take more advantage and so forth. And long story short, the pattern repeats. I don't care what job, what city, what career, what girlfriend, what wife, the pattern repeats. I don't care what in-laws, I don't care where I go, I see the same patterns. There's always somebody who's a Jezebel. There's always somebody who don't want to work and they want everybody else to work. There's always somebody playing video games. And then there's always somebody working two or three jobs to take care of everybody else. And then there's always somebody who's drinking and drugging. And then there's always somebody who's sober, sacrificing. Then there's always somebody who's complaining all the time. And then there's always somebody who's positive all the time. And it just keeps happening. It's a fractal story. You can watch any movie and actually see people's lives. And the only way you're going to see it maybe is get by yourself for about 10 years and you can see it everywhere you go. You start to see this as cartoon land. And when somebody opens their mouth, wah, 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 you've already seen the Charlie Brown show and you already know what they're going to say because they keep saying the same thing every day. It's a repeat. Check this out. This will help you. Check this out. This is going to help you. This will cure you. This will heal you. This will protect you from certain kinds of people. Listen, if they do something today, they've done it before. I'm getting ready to say, I'm saving your life. I'm actually going to save your life right now. If you remember this your whole life. Somebody shows up and they create some kind of drama. And you're looking at them like, where did that come from? They've done it before. If a pattern is there, it had to start when they were a child. And that pattern is not going to change unless they specifically focus on it to make it change. But most people don't know what that, how to even change it. And the way you're going to change a stronghold is by fasting and prayer. And you're going to have to take, you know, what was it? About 6 months ago, something happened. And I said, I'm going to change this. What was it? I might have been I might have been emotionally attached to somebody or something. And she upset me, and I said, I'm going to break this bond in like 2 seconds. What was it? I can't remember, but I took a ruler and put it in my back pocket. And you know how when you were in school, depends on what age you are, they'd tell you to come up to the front desk and they'd hit you hand with the ruler. Now, it was stung, but it didn't hurt. And you thought that was the worst thing ever. So I put a ruler in my back pocket. It could have been I was trying to cut back sugar or a train of thought that I was trying to change. So every time that thought came to my mind, I took that ruler. It was in my back pocket. I was at work. I'd hit my hand 2 or 3 times. Every time that negative thought hit, I hit my hand multiple times. And within 2 or 3 days, that thought didn't come back. Like if you're trying to cut the music off, the world's music, keep something in your car, keep something in your house, and when you start to turn the world's music on, hit your hand with a ruler. Sting. It's got to hurt. It's got to sting. You got to set new patterns. You got to destroy the dopamine rush. Oh, it feels so good to listen to that song. Keep a ruler in your car and hit your hand and get rid of that dopamine rush. Sugar. I need to cut back sugar. Right? I'm going to tell you how to do it. Pray about it. Fast. Do start doing fasting. And keep a ruler. And every time you start to eat a donut, hit your hand. This will work with drinking, smoking, sugar. It'll work with a breakup. So you break up with somebody, right? I'm going to tell you how to get over a breakup in 3 days. You ready? And it might take you 7 or 21, but I've been through it so much because people lie and cheat and steal and think they can get over on you and you see through it and it's like, come on, play this art. So you get a ruler. especially if you have an office, this should be easy. So you're doing your work, right? You're going about your day. That person comes to your mind. Take that ruler and hit your hand. And whatever lie that they told you from the get-go, you remember that lie and you sting your hand. Let's say somebody has depression. You hit, every time you start to feel sad, you need to be thankful that God gave you this breath, and you hit your hand. With that ruler. It's like shock treatment. Electroconvulsive therapy. Shock treatment. Most people, here's what most people do. 99% of the people do this. So they have a breakup. So they don't want to heal their heart, right? They think they are, but they're doing the opposite. So they break up with somebody. So they start chasing somebody else. Well, they broke my heart, so I'm going to go chase somebody else, and I'm going to heal my heart. Wrong. You're actually become more hard-hearted. Hoard them wine and new wine, take away the heart. So they start chasing somebody else, and then that person breaks. Then they chase somebody else. And they went through about five people. They become a harlot or whatever. Instead of doing that, why not get healed from childhood, whatever it is that got you involved in that thing you shouldn't have been involved in to begin with, and go through the pain. Don't drink. Don't drug. Don't bar hop. Go through the pain and ask God, why is this so painful? Then he's probably going to say, well, you need to worship me. You need to depend on me. I'm your source. I'm your completion. No other human is going to make you happy. When you look at the big picture, and if you have the church family, the body of Christ, let's say you got three or four people you talk to are saved, they're going to help you get healed. And they need to just be friends. They need to be your brother or sister. If there's a brother out there who needs a friend, let him find a sister in Christ that's just going to be a friend. That's what Paul was telling y'all. I tried to set my channel up that way, where you could have brothers and sisters talking to each other. Paul was saying, look, in the church, you have a spiritual family. You can gather together and be friends. Be real family, spiritual family. But what happens is, those kind of congregations get infiltrated with the flesh creatures, and they try to defile the church. But you got to know that that's going to happen, so be on guard. Never go out alone. Go out with a group of people, you know? If you've really never had a real family, you're going to have brothers and sisters in Christ to get healed. And once you talk to a couple of them for many years, you realize, oh, there's a difference between the body of Christ and the bloodline family, who's just all about me, and the flesh mind and pride and the world, the flesh, and the pride of life, you know. I got to have more stuff. You got to work two jobs. Why? Yeah, I have worked two jobs all my life, but I think I'm going to take me a break. I think I'm going to rest. I think I'm going to just sleep for 6 months and let my body heal. You have to think different. But you can break any addiction if you have the Holy Spirit. And if it's hard, bad enough, take the ruler. And every time you say, I gotta drink that Budweiser, hit your hand and say, no, you don't. And go do some push-ups. Go jog around the block. Go start your little side business. Don't worship money. Don't become a greedy workaholic. But use that side business to stay busy. So let's say you're getting ready to pop open a Budweiser or something. Instead of doing that, go jump in your car and make $20, $30, $40. Instead of spending the money, invest the money, and it pays you back, you know. Buy you some ETFs that pay you monthly dividends, and you get paid back. You're in You're actually investing in your future. Your future self will love you right now. I'm giving you deep wisdom, but you don't think it's deep because you're hearing it from a little country bumpkin, so you think. And so you don't think it's deep, but I'm telling you, and if you want to over, let's say you want to learn some Bible, right? If you want to learn, what does Hebrews 6 mean? Now you can just AI it, but before, to really learn Hebrews 6, you might have to fast and pray and beg and say, Lord, what does this mean? Because the preachers don't even know what it means. And for you to get a deep understanding of some chapters in the Bible, you're going to have to fast and pray and beg God to reveal it to you. Because the truth is outside of the norm down here. Because everybody's living in lies and delusions and half-truths and all that. All right, I'm done. If you really want to break a habit or whatever, push through to the other side and create a new pattern. Just make it happen.